was inspired by Craig playing the Lurch, Do the Lurch, as his traffic bump, and thought we'd...
They're kooky, mysterious, and spooky. They're all together ooky, the Addams Family. The house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream, the Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet.
8:11 at AM 930 WEOL. So I'm Bruce Van Dyke, along with Craig Adams, and also joining us in studio, David Arredondo, who gives his talk about analysis of the Republican debate. He's been in here on the previous days. Good morning, David. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Bruce. Craig, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
You actually were at a watch. Sporting events have watch parties, I guess. Presidential debates have a certain core of folks that come together to watch them together?
We did. The Lorain County Republican Party hosting, I was host, and Nick Muscari of Wellington were co-hosts. Had about 40 people turn out. Some of the candidates from this year and from next year, Gary Gibbs was there, Judge Michelle Silva Arredondo was there, Gail Manning. So we had a good representation and an informal poll of the attendees. And are you ready for this?
Let me hold off on that for a minute. We don't want to get to the end.
Okay.
After the break.
That's good.
No,
that's a great idea.
What I want to do is set up a little bit. Here's from ABC's report about the, if you did not see the debate on MSNBC last night or saw portions of it, here is their bit of recap of it.
A chaotic GOP debate. I'm Alex Stone, ABC News at the University of Colorado, Boulder.
Thank you, Senator.
The Republican presidential candidates battled for airtime in Wednesday night's debate. It was a messy debate on CNBC, one that went in all directions. A unifying moment came when Ted Cruz began an attack on the media and those who moderate debates. Fellow candidates quickly rallied behind him.
The questions that are being asked shouldn't be trying to get people to tear into each other. It should be, what are your substantive solutions?
Then Marco Rubio jumped in.
You know, the Democrats have the ultimate super PAC. It's called the mainstream media. Whoever
those attacks on the media were the biggest moments of the night on Twitter. GOP chair Rance Priebus has come out to say CNBC should be ashamed at this debate. On stage, Trump and Carson stayed out of much of the bickering. Trump did go after a few of his opponents, like John Kasich, after Kasich called Trump's tax plan fantasy.
This is the man that was a managing general partner at Lehman Brothers when it went down the tubes and almost took every one of us with us.
Jeb Bush went after Rubio, who has been seen as Bush's protege. Bush calling for Rubio to resign if he's going to miss Senate votes.
What is it, like a French work week? You get like 3 days where you have to show up? You can campaign or just resign and let someone else take the job.
But Rubio was ready. He shot down the attack, likely knowing it was coming since the Bush campaign had almost advertised it was on its way. The protege fired back at his mentor.
Someone has convinced you that attacking me is going to help you.
But in truth, Rubio has actually missed fewer votes than many previous candidates who have run for president. When the debate turned to regulating fantasy football...
We're talking about fantasy football?
Chris Christie couldn't take it.
We have $19 trillion in debt. We have people out of work. We have ISIS and Al-Qaeda attacking us.
The Republicans will debate again in only 12 days in Milwaukee. I'm Alex Stone, ABC News in Boulder, Colorado.
Now, I can tell you, of all that, I give my credit to Mike Huckabee for being most topical yesterday.
I mean, what we had was something the government made... Basically, a bag of gas that cut loose, destroyed everything in its path, left thousands of people powerless, but they couldn't get rid of it because we had too much money invested in it, so we had to keep it.
He almost has the people like the joke writers that write something of very topical on the sense, because that was the blimp that was floating around yesterday, working that into the debate. But David, you mentioned you had the watch party. People are there. Is it a vocal watch party? Are you kind of, or is what's kind of a thing happens at some point?
You know, this is the first time that we've conducted this, and the first time that I've been, part of. Well, I shouldn't say that. I was at the first watch party, which was held in downtown Cleveland, the House of Blues. We didn't, attend the actual debate, but so that was a much bigger crowd, and even that crowd was rather. How would you say, quiet and attentive? I think that's what you have, is that people are absorbing. There were a couple of cheers, okay. You know, when some of those comments were hurled by Christie and Cruz and so forth. But other than that, it wasn't really cheering for this guy or that woman or anything like that.
So at a watch party like this, you might have somebody there for Bush or Trump or Rubio. You have a mix?
Yes, we did. We had a pretty good, and when you allow me to reveal the informal poll, I will tell you how that mix came out.
Should we allow him to reveal it?
No, we got to hold off. You got to end with a bang, right?
There you go. No, that's it. That's a good idea.
Well,
we'll wait till the end. Yep.
Okay. The way things usually go around here, David, I'll tell
forget.
This. You'll be on the elevator going out the door and thinking, hey, I forgot to tell them what our poll says.
No, there are three of us here. We won't forget to ask the question.
I'll tie a rubber band around my finger here so I can remember that as well. We'll talk about your impressions as you were watching it last
Well,
night.
I'm going to give you an impression of just what I heard your sound bites, what you played, what you've been playing all morning, and I've been listening, and this. But it occurred to me as I was listening to those sound bites, there wasn't a single substantive comment regarding anything of an economic policy or any other substantive policy, which I believe this was supposed to be a debate focusing on economic issues.
On CNBC.
That's right. Okay, they each have their topics on who's discussing domestic or what have you, foreign. And in those limited sound bites, not a single thing about policy.
Now, part of that goes to what a sound bite really does. Sometimes it's hard to get, something of a sound bite related to policy into a sound bite. So sometimes it's more of the quick wit, the quips, that type of a thing, which creates more of an emotional impact on it.
But the point is this, is that was pretty much the nature of the debate. You had all of this gotcha type of questions, provocative types of questions, absurd questions. And so that's what you got is answers that were related to that as opposed to policy and ideas.
Now, the pundits, the people on the other side are talking about they're sort of giving Marco Rubio the nod for this particular debate.
Well, let me say this. I've I've watched all of the three debates, and I seem to recall, and I think you do too, is that in the last two particularly, Marco Rubio was given kind of an acknowledgement as the unofficial winner. The first one went to Trump just because of his presence in the room, but even in that one, Marco Rubio did stand out. I have to say that he is unflappable. He is, he's very serious. He has good policy ideas. And the consensus is that the three people who came out of that one looking the best were Rubio, Cruz, and Christie in that order.
John Kasich talked about electing somebody or nominating somebody who could actually be elected, somebody who could actually do the job. He was taking a jab at Mr. Trump and
Carson.
And Carson.
Fiorina. Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that premise? Do you agree that those two guys are not electable?
No, not at this point. If you had asked me that a month ago, if you had asked me that after the first debate, I would have said, absolutely not. They are not electable. But when you have 51% of the poll numbers going to these two guys, what is that telling you? Now, I realize that there's a long way to go between now and February, and the field is going to shift. And we haven't seen a single vote. Polls aren't, votes. But I think they are very much a barometer. They are symptomatic of what is happening with the electorate, both Republican and Democrat, that there is a deep dissatisfaction with the establishment. And so I think that at this point, I would not rule anybody out.
What does that say about the supposed old guard in the party or the traditionalists who seem to want Jeb Bush to be the next president?
You're absolutely right. They do want him to be, but on the other hand, they only have so many votes. When it comes down to showing up at the ballot box, there are a lot more folks who are unhappy and even irate with the present leadership of the Republican Party. And let me tell you that we hear a lot of dissatisfaction out there in the electorate. And the good thing is that these are people who care and who want to make a change for the good.
10 of them out that we have here. How much longer will there be 10? How is it going to whittle its way down? And is it just, you know, is it just a matter of people realizing I'm running out of funding? Is that kind of the key to the whole thing?
That's usually what is the indicator. Scott Walker fell by the boards. Rick Perry fell by the boards. I get that question daily. People ask me, well, who's the next one to drop out and so forth? My answer is, I hope they all stay in there until there's actually a vote cast. And as long as you get free airtime and you're not going deep in debt to maintain a campaign, stay in there. Let's see what happens. Let's see who votes for you. Who likes Jindal? Who likes Graham? I want to see some actual votes behind these guys. And then at that point, I think you'll start seeing the field whittle down.
Do you see anybody outside that 10 moving in and somebody in that 10 moving out?
Yes. Well, no. You know, actually, at this point, I think it's been pretty solid in terms of the top 10. There hasn't really been anybody has moved out of there. The only one after that first debate who actually moved up from the bottom to the top was Fiorina. Nobody else has really grabbed a spot of the 10 on stage. So I think that's pretty much going to stay the rest of the way.
With having that many, does it make it difficult to get the message across? Because there may be blurred between several of them. I mean, it's like you don't want to take these two and put them together. Or those three are, I like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. How do you kind of sort through a lot of that?
Yesterday was a case in point whereby it was difficult to hear anything of substance because of the moderators. In my opinion, you know, Craig, I do debate and chip candidate moderation and so forth. And you guys know, as newscasters, your role is to ask the questions and listen for the answers and maybe, you know, probe another question or two, but not to be the center of the news story. And unfortunately, that's what CNBC was. But if we have commentators who just ask a question that is relevant, we're going to get substantive answers.
So when is the next debate? It's not too far away, right?
I believe, and don't quote me on this, it is November the 10th, and I'll have to confirm that and let you guys know, but I believe it is November 10th, and the location, I'm not sure, and who's hosting it, not sure.
It is pretty soon, because I think we heard in that report the next one was like 12 days away.
There you
so,
go,
so,
there you go.
Yeah. We'll see you back in 2 weeks.
Well... If you do have me, it will be from.
Here we go.
Where are you traveling to? What far off land?
Yeah,
is this?
No far off lands anymore. But not Boulder. Colorado Springs, and go see my daughter and my grandson. So I will be watching out from Colorado Springs, and if you dial me up in the morning at 6 o'clock Colorado time, I'll join you on the air.
I was going to say you're hanging. You'll curse us and hang up on us.
I'll join you here.
Like this. All right. Well, we're coming to the end of our discussion, unless there's something else you wanted to add before you unveil the informal.
Symptomatic of our group last night was the enthusiasm. The Republican electorate, with those many candidates, is electrified. It is motivated. It is mobilized. Hopefully, it will continue through the election next November. But we had just about every candidate was represented in the informal poll in terms of a vote. So the informal poll came out with Marco Rubio, number one. With a slight edge over Ted Cruz, and Carly Fiorina was third. We had a number of women there, and it wasn't just women voting for Carly. There were some of the guys who were voting for her. But so that was the top three.
Okay.
Before we let you go, one more thing. It appears Paul Ryan will be named House Speaker. Could happen today. That's a tough job, and seemingly a job that not a whole lot of people wanted right now. What are your thoughts about him and his leadership here?
Well, we still have this problem of, I believe, a leadership both in the House and the Senate that isn't proactive enough. I mean, these guys campaigned. We're going to, if we take back the Senate, we're going to do this. We're going to override Obamacare. We're going to change taxes. You know, there are a number of promises. And what we have seen is virtually, you know, very little has been done. And this is what has made the Freedom Caucus, this has made the Republican electorate unhappy with the leadership. So now that Paul Ryan is there, it's kind of, we're watching you. We want to see some result between you and the Senate. So that's what we're waiting for. I'm hopeful that we will see some results from the new leadership.
David Arredondo, thank you for stopping in this
Bruce,
morning.
Bruce, thank you so much.
Thanks
and
for
Craig.
Listening to make sure you came in at the right time. Earlier, we promoted you being on later.
Hey, somebody listened.
So we wanted to make sure you got here.
I can assure you that there are a lot of people listening right now.